Yes, this is Robert Shapiro.
Like Robert Kardashian is his friend.
Well, we're very sorry.
Sensational Johnny Cochran.
He's very depressed.
Marsha.
American Crime Story, : The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Can you imagine getting O.J. to play O.J. in this? All right, we get in the van before I tell them you're Jewish. Many shocking lines like that discussed tonight on the podcast from Hollow Nine Network covering American Crime Story, : The People vs. O.J. Simpson, even though my DVR listed in the reverse order. I am Dave the Clone, played by F. Lee Bailey.
And I'm John R.R. Morton, played by John Morton.
Esquire, otherwise you're not allowed in the sidebar.
And the third.
And we're discussing actually a double-stuffed hour-long episode tonight on Manna from Heaven and The Verdict, the final two episodes of this epic masterpiece that was American Crime Story's first season, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And what a travesty it made it into, a piece of American history. I actually felt almost dirty after watching this.
Yeah, wow, first season was a masterpiece. You said a tragedy also, you can call it.
Yeah.
The way they made it, definitely an American tragedy.
Yeah.
And is this going to be tough to top?
Yeah, I don't even see how even
it's Ryan Murphy, though, so it'll be fine.
I mean, unless they're going to be trying to continue with, like, the themes of racism and race relations. Like, I don't understand if the rumors turn out to be true, how it's going to be a Katrina thing after something like this, you know? And especially, like, the ninth episode, all about the Furman tapes and like, the level to which, I guess, like, rewatching it, I don't remember, I guess I was too young to realize really how intense this time was with the racial tension as far as the proximity to Rodney King, to the fact that rewatching this, there's a part where Cochran organizes like a rally of community leaders, and the one guy flat out says, "This community is a powder keg that could repeat the events of 1992. I'm like, "Oh shit!" Mm-hmm. Flat out threatening to riot again. Like, oh my god, that like I just dropped something. We're just now talking about it. I don't know if you hear that at home. Please strike that from the record.
Wow. Do you find, the second episode, the last episode, like, vilified the jury?
Oh, my God, dude. It was terrible. I was actually fucking angry. And I feel like I've been talking to people about this show a lot lately, and everyone was like, oh, holy shit, can you believe that? like, really, man, how fucking blatantly, like, yep, we're fucking doing this to do this. This is nothing about evidence or justice or court, or it really just makes all of the justice system feel like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we really, I mean, everybody jokes about it, and a lot of times things in the news do back it up, but holy shit.
Yeah.
They're not even trying to hide it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you got money, fucking do whatever you want, man. Like, seriously, whatever you want.
Yeah, like, well, this, back to, like, with Katrina, I think they're going to be focusing on, I think FEMA had a very late response to it. They weren't the post-Katrina, like the post-hurricane action was horrible, even though they knew days in advance Katrina was coming. So I think that's what they're going to focus on. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a crime in the legal courtroom sense, maybe. Just it's still an American crime story, Katrina.
I guess, yeah. So then I guess in the future we could also expect maybe a season to deal with the Native Americans. Like, can we talk about that as an American crime story? Like,
you know what, though?
Fucking like genocide on the continent. You know?
After another one of your favorite, our favorite shows, American Horror Story, I find after every season, I say to myself, there's no way the next one's going to be as good. it's going to have to become stupid, because how many masterpieces could you make? And he just keeps coming out with brilliance. So.
Oh, well, you know, as we're sitting here talking about it, clearly late, and I can hear everybody out there in podcast Internetica going, release the casts, release the casts, release the casts. So we're trying to do our best to catch up for you here. So it's obviously a couple weeks after both episodes have aired. And here I am live clicking, as I like to call it, on HollywoodReporter.com, FX's American Crime Story Season 2 plan revealed. Uh-oh. And it even says, Brad Simpson, referring to Season 1, says OJ is a hard act to follow. Let's see. I'm going to quickly skim this. Quickly skimming.
Skimming all day long.
It's almost like I actually can't skim and say that I'm skimming at the same time. Oh, dear Lord. But, you know, one of the things I was left with, I'll leave you guys with this to discuss amongst yourself, Mr. Morton, while I keep reading. One of the ideas of what they kept talking about in the 9th episode and still carried through into the 10th episode as well was the idea of, like, they didn't want, like, at all costs, they wanted to avoid a mistrial because of the fact of how much taxpayer money was already spent. We find out in the 9th episode that this has been a full year has gone by, a year of work. So I'll also, to be honest, was impressed with how much they condensed that year into the couple episodes that we watched. But the idea that maybe if they did have the mistrial, they would have had like another chance to actually find OJ guilty. And maybe this would have, I don't know, like people may have been a little bit more accepting of a mistrial and that if it led to a better trial, you know?
Yeah, but like, you know, for going by the show we're podcasting on, the jury didn't want a mistrial. Like, did that thing really happen when after the juror really giving OJ that?
Oh my God! See, to me, if that
did that happen,
if that did happen, I don't remember that being.
How do we not know?
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember that being in the news at all. So if that was an embellishment, it was a really ballsy embellishment. But
that's a crazy embellishment.
If it did happen, though, to me, I'm like, well, how the fuck did that not instantly then cause it a mistrial? Or is it because it happened after the verdict was read? They're like, all right, the verdict was read. No matter what happens now, man, sorry. You had your shot, bitches. You had your shot. But, I mean, to have a juror flat out do that, that's like walking right up to the defendant and be like, yo, man, we did it. Like, slapping him high five, practically. Like,
yeah. And OJ even had, like, an embarrassed look. I kind of want to be
because he couldn't fucking believe it. He's like, really? like, I guess that kind of, in some ways, is the only sympathetic moment for him. That, like, he's that ignorant that it was sort of like, he really thought it was sort of like up in the air, and that going into his last day of the trial, it was sort of like, I don't know if they're gonna, they might find me guilty. It's like, yeah, dude, no, that's not gonna happen. Like, how do you not know that? All right, just quickly, if you want me to go back to what season two is gonna be about, according to Hollywood Reporter, the second installment will center on Hurricane Katrina and its devastating aftermath. The working plan, according to Murphy, is to follow a group of 6 to 8 people in an attempt to examine all sides of the tragedy, from the Superdome to the hospital to those who were put on buses and dropped off with babies who were forced to wear trash bags for multiple days. I want this show to be a socially conscious, socially aware examination of different types of crime around the world. And in my opinion, Katrina was a fucking crime. A crime against a lot of people who didn't have a strong voice, and we're going to treat it as a crime. That's what this show is about. Wow.
Powerful.
Yeah, but at the same time, I was like, I don't know, man. You guys did such a fucking amazing job with the courtroom shit. I mean, like, really, the whole Robert Blake thing would be fucking sick. I mean, I don't know. As long, you know, I would be happy if they bounced it back and forth every other season. Like, you know, American Horror Story, it was one season in the present, one season in the past, one season in the present, one season in the past. If they would do, like, one courtroom, one greater crime against humanity, one courtroom, one greater crime against
humanity. Yeah, but like, also it seems like Ryan Murphy likes to stick up for the minority or the little guy, and you know, with Robert Blake, it's just flat out murder, right? I think there's no there'd be no message in that season, right? As opposed to
he gets away with it, though. It's another one where he's not convicted of the crime.
That's what I'm saying. I thought it's more he wants to shed light on things, you know, important issues, I guess.
And I guess, you know, with the way that the last episode ended, where after all the drama was over and they kind of ran through that montage of the photos showing the real person and the actors, Bless you.
Nowhere. No time to mute.
Objection, Your Honor. Holy shit. I actually saw it happen. I'm like, oh, this is going down. Whoa.
That season, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. OJ's reaching through the internet trying to get us to stop talking about him because the last thing you see is that he's up for parole next year. I wonder if this show was made to, like, you know, influence the parole board to not let him out. Like, yo, listen, motherfuckers, I know his celebrity and his charm kind of win people over all the time, but look at this, all right? Look at this. For real, it's 2016. There's the internet. You guys were the first ones to realize how important DNA is. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, when they were even discussing the tapes, like how they had to go to North Carolina to get them, and the one guy's like, I don't know, we haven't even heard them. Let's not even, you know, we shouldn't put all our eggs in one basket on the tapes. And they're like, dude, no, this is amazing. You know, we have to go get these tapes.
Yeah, that's where Nathan Lane's character came in huge, because when...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the racism in that courtroom, oh, my God, what's his name? Johnny Cochran.
Wow. He tried to woo.
Had no chance.
It's all right, dude. We're having those, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't talk.
I was thinking, like, I was Jackie Childs was in the tip of my tongue, who's the Johnny Cochran satire on Seinfeld.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's hilarious. There have been a lot of classic Seinfeld episodes on lately, too. Just
as an aside.
Yeah.
Bra doesn't fit.
You gotta wear it close to the skin, like a glove! Like, oh, God. But yeah, when, like, they go to the first courtroom, and the guy, I mean, it's like, you couldn't be more blatantly racist. He goes, these tapes are not germane to your case. He goes, there are no cameras in my courtroom. There's no need for gratuitous alliteration. Yeah. You know, it's almost like, are you suddenly making up some bullshit law that there's a thing called gratuitous alliteration? Like, holy fuck, are you about to throw me in jail for grammar? Like, what the hell is happening? And then he's, like, walking out. I mean, actually, I did find that. I'm like, is this realistic? Did Johnny Cochran really? I mean, you know, one of the things that's been crazy about this show the whole time has been, like, I'm enamored with all of the performances of all of the actors that I start to, like, not necessarily notice, like, whoa, what a fucking prick this guy was. Like, did he really? He was that arrogant that he thought he should be able to just walk into any courtroom and woo the judges without, like, while playing to the advantage of stacking the races of the jury back in L.A., not thinking that going to courts in the South would have sort of the other side of that coin being having to be dealt with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like,
I don't know. Another thing with this show, it doesn't claim to be like 100% truth.
Right.
However, you get the feeling that they're trying to tell a true story. And
well, I remember
things like I can't see them being true.
I remember him and Darden fighting in the courtroom, like when Darden. Yeah,
no, for sure. Like, and I know it's based on a book, but how does this author, like, what's his?
Well, I think he was there. I think, like, one of those reporter characters that was sitting in the courtroom was supposed to sort of be representing him, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. However, I don't know. The thing at the end there with the juror giving OJ the...
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like,
that's
how is that not the most talked about thing ever?
Like, yeah, it's almost like, that's all I really remember. Let's forget that. I did not... I mean, maybe they didn't televise this, or I don't really remember them pulling up to the courtroom with the Nation of Islam, like, protecting them easily that point I was in the hospital. That was, like, when I was, like, super sick and was taken to the hospital, so it could be that's why I don't remember that. But when that happened, I was like, holy shit. And I was like, talk about really, like, what's it called, bringing all kinds of possible race implications into play here. I mean, I guess, too, like, I guess it took the rewatch for me to see that part when they were like, release the tapes, otherwise we'll riot again. I was just like, holy shit, yeah, man. Like, really political, how fucking people are just using it as a weapon now. Like, fuck, fine, you're racist. We're racist, too. This is how we're going to do it. You know, we can't beat you. We're joining you in some sick, twisted way. And the other thing that I thought was absolutely crazy was when they were actually reading the verdict and they were showing all the people like everywhere watching it. How it was like people in Penn Station in New York and people out in the streets watching it on giant screens, and how like the very clear racial divide between who was shocked and who was cheering. It was like, wow.
What? Like, OJ that ignorant? Like, ignorant thinking everything would just be back to normal? Like,
yeah, right? Or that, like, when he makes the speech at the... See, that's the thing I was always talking about all season. How, like, once he's found not guilty, once he's acquitted, he goes back to his house. Now, I remember them having people, like, the press conference was, like, right then. It was hours after the verdict. Mm-hmm. It wasn't at, like, a nighttime...
At a party
that they were throwing that almost looked like a fucking Vanity Fair party or something, you know what I mean? But when he made that speech about, like, you know, and I'm going to, after a little while, and we get everything back to normal, I'm going to make it my life's mission to bring her killer or killers who butchered Nicole and Mr. Goldman to justice, because they're out there. It was just like, and everybody's like, okay. Yeah. Like, you literally heard three people clapping.
And no one were his friends there. Like, they were all, I don't know how they got there.
Yeah, and at the same, yeah, too. Like, and then they put the music back on, and people are, like, lining up to take their picture with him. And I'm like, do any of these models, no one's, like, thinking, like, holy shit, I'm getting my picture taken with a fucking murderer. Like, a guy who literally just got away with murder. Like what if he murders somebody at this party tonight? You know what I mean? Like, how is everybody not walking around just thinking that, like, yeah, so... Let's just make sure everybody knows where all the knives and sleeve masks are, like, all at all times. In fact, let's do everything we can to make sure Juice doesn't have to, like, do anything for himself. Nothing sharp or serrated or edged. In fact, we're going to get the glass out of here. Let's put everything plexi, you know, like, all bulletproof everything. In fact, we're just going to put him back in jail because holy shit, this guy killed people. Like the drive from the court to the house when he's like, oh, we're going to have a party. Oh, this is going to be great. We did it, man. We did it. It's like, dude.
No sympathy for his, you know, Nicole.
Or yeah. At all. Not as upset as you were when you first learned about her being killed. When the verdict was read and Kardashian like runs out of the courtroom and just pukes he's like, oh dude, I actually,
yeah,
I feel bad for hating his brood so much, but he seems like the only Kardashian that was worth a damn on this earth.
good dude.
Holy shit, what a nice guy. Comparatively, I mean, ran with some crazy motherfuckers, obviously was part of that real Hollywood circle, you know, the one that kills people and shit. But that was too funny, too, when he was pulling back up to Brentwood and all the people were like, get the fuck out of our neighborhood, murderer. You fucking murderer. Have you ever seen that movie Very Bad Things with Christian Slater and Jon Favreau and Daniel Stern?
Nope.
And Jeremy Piven and Cameron Diaz.
Good cast.
And it's all about this guy, what's it called? His bachelor party. There's a mishap at his bachelor party in Vegas and a hooker is murdered, but as the rest of the movie goes on, the group of friends kind of starts falling apart because they can't keep the secret, and the one guy keeps calling out the dude who actually killed the hooker, like, in front of people, and he's like, you fucking murderer! And it's just hearing...
Did they kill her by accident?
Yeah.
Were they, like, having sex with her on
the wall? Yeah, while he's fucking her. He's fucking her in the bathroom. Yeah, exactly.
And then they killed the bellboy or something.
They kill everybody, yeah. Okay, they kill the security guy.
Yeah.
Christian Slater's like the crazy one killing everyone. Yeah. It's fucking awesome. That movie's hilarious. But yeah, it's kind of like, the way he's calling out his brother at the dinner party and the guy winds up crashing the van. Yeah, spoiler alert out there, everybody, for Very Bad Things, which we'll be probably covering on the What Am I Watching podcast on the Hollow Nine Network, which you can find on Facebook at the Hollow Nine Network, or you can find us on Twitter at Hollow Nine Cast. That's the word. Hollow, the number 9, INECAST. And Hollow9Podcast@gmail.com is how you join in this really off the wall, not following any kind of chronology at all, kind of conversation about two episodes. That's kind of the way we usually cover one anyway. But whatever, you know, it's just how we do our thing here. We're relaxed at the Hollow9 Network. We chill. Sorry again for this episode coming out so late.
Yeah.
Life kept happening.
Life, Passover.
Yeah, see, I just call it life. I didn't know there were things. I didn't know there were a specific, like, week-long I can't be on the computer thing.
Oh, no, I could have been on the computer. It's not like my niece and nephew in staying with me. You know?
Yeah, and if they heard you talking about this, like, horrible, degenerate TV show, it would just scar them forever. If you use the word that directly contradicts your testimony of that you didn't use that word earlier, he's walking right into the trap I set for him. Your honors, I always know when I am standing in one of the original 13 colonies, I can expect justice whenever I'm in a Tar Heel tribunal. I've praised the Lord that I'm back in the Carolinas. And seek and you shall find, says the Bible, and I thank God every day that we found these deeply, deeply troubling tapes.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Do you not smell the mint julep and condescension in the air? We're in the South. Look behind you. That's a statue of a Confederate soldier.
Yeah.
I don't think you play so well in Dixie. Let me do the talking. Let me do the talking. And Cochran's like, what? You know, it was like, I guess that was what I found surprising. Like, that level of ego after what just happened to you in that court?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, a judge had no qualms, dude. Like, this is how you could see the shit still happening now. Like, fucking Ferguson and all that shit going down in D.C. I mean, just like, oh, God, I don't even want to talk about it. Just, the fact that this is still happening is fucking crazy. I mean, I guess, and I can see, like, the argument so much about being like, you know, there's a moral obligation for tapes like this to be released so that you can expose the cancer in the system. But then the other, like, literal fear of, do we really want another riot the way we had 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much of that, like, when they get in the elevator and Cochran's kind of telling them, like, he wants to do this rally thing. He's like, we got to turn up the pressure. And John Travolta, like, he finally had a really hardcore Travolta moment. Like, pressure! You want to turn up the pressure? We have enough pressure! The city's about to tear itself apart! Like, he was, like, losing his shit, horrified of what's about to happen. I don't know, maybe sometimes with stuff like this, like, I remember when I watched Hostel, the same thing happened. The first time I watched it, I'm like, oh, this wasn't so bad. I was expecting something, like, I wouldn't be able to sleep, and then I watched it again, and God, this is horrifying. With this one, it was sort of just like all of the level to which all these things cut, you know what I mean? How deeply they all cut and how significant it all was now. And you're like, holy shit, this changed it all, man. This really made it like a big thing of like, oh yeah, the stars will get... I mean, that led to things like now we have the affluenza kid. Like, oh, I didn't know getting drunk and driving over so many people would be so horrible because I'm so affluent and protected from...
Yeah, that's crazy. But he's in jail.
So. Yeah, I know. But it's still like the fact that they would even think to like use it as a defense. It's like, I object, Your Honor. You have been saying worse stuff than that this whole time. Oh, I'm so pissed at both of you. Shut up. Like, it was just... Ugh, chaos. I did like when Darden was like, this is a circus, and they've made it a circus, and you've allowed it. And he's like, all right, dude, you're a step away from contempt. Calm yourself down.
Yeah, that was intense.
It did. I mean, I don't know. There was like all in the whole thing where Ito had to make the speech about whether or not he'd be able to stay on as judge because his wife lied when she signed the affidavit, and like they start having the conversation in the judge's chambers, and then he does this whole like, there's been a question of whether or not I can remain partial. I mean, I really don't remember that part of it happening in real life either. I don't remember the second judge and him having to review the tapes, and it was the second judge was happening while Cochran was running the rally to release the tapes. But like, there were times where I kind of felt like I respected how by the book Ito was, and there were other times I'm like, dude, you are literally just letting all this shit happen. Like,
yeah, he had no control over the draw.
Yeah, it was like fucking insanity. It was just so crazy. And I also love, too, that we saw the current affair opening in the one episode. It was like, phew, current affair. I don't know if, did you guys get that in Canada?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to constantly now be asking, did you get that in Canada? Is that what you did? You guys have that, too, in Canada? Because, hey, man, I'm not there. I don't know your TV, other than Much Music. I missed Much Music so much, man.
You got Much Music?
When we first got, before the days of, like, now Comcast and Verizon and everybody, I think the first time my parents upgraded our cable package and got like a shit ton of movie channels, we also got Much Music. It was awesome, dude. You guys
Ed
like
the sock.
You're a Canadian MTV, basically. Like it was what our great classic MTV was. And at that time, our MTV had already started descending into, like, reality show hell. So it was sort of like, this is fucking amazing. And that's where I, like, discovered, like, I Mother Earth and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Loved I Mother Earth. But, yeah.
What was their song again?
Their one song? They had a bunch of songs, but One More Astronaut or Not Quite Sonic. Those were, like, the two that
They
were, like, the major singles off the two first albums.
That's right.
Remember
Ed the Sock.
That was the guy who used to, like, announce the...
Oh, it was a sock.
Yeah, and he had a cigar coming out of his
mouth.
Exactly. Yeah, dude. You guys had... Basically, like, our MTV used to have shit like that, and then stopped. And you guys were fucking still awesome.
Reality killed the video star.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, OJ created Court TV. So I guess it infected all the way up. It spread into other countries and shit, and the whole world was like, "Oh, in America, you just like everywhere else. If you have money, you get out of shit for free." It definitely. I mean, the speeches at the end with the press conference, the Chris Darden speech when he basically starts crying and then goes over and hugs the Goldmans. I find it interesting that they didn't show, because Ron Goldman spoke at that press conference. I remember that pretty vividly. And it's almost like what he said at the press conference in real life is what they had him say at the beginning of the season when they showed him meeting with Marcia Clark and Chris Darden.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like it was a speech on that level. Like, but he was the one who said, like, because he goes after Darden, and Darden in his thing said, like, I guess history will have to decide if justice was, you know, done here today. Immediately, Goldman got there, and he's like, justice was not served. Like, yep. We will not rest. We'll pursue any means we can to take next steps. But this was not, you know, this was not what was supposed to happen.
I felt so bad for Ronald Goldman. This whole, like, his son is like a footnote of the trial. It's like,
and he was, you know, so
he's
brutally
the other guy
killed.
Who so brutally for no reason. Like,
well, like OJ killed him as if he was the guy having an affair with his wife. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of, it's terrible.
Yeah.
That whole sequence, I actually felt like I was getting choked up watching. Like, you saw, like, from Garcetti to Marcia Clark to then Darden. It was like they were basically trying to say, like, so today we proved that the court is kind of bullshit. We actually, you know, we have no idea what to say. Like, no words we can come up with right now can explain how. This is almost like a jury deciding that 2 + 2 = 3, and we have nothing we can do about it.
Crazy. First of all, like, they were expecting the verdict to last take like a month and a half or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just unheard of for a trial like this to have the jury only deliberate for 4 hours. I mean,
yeah, but they were expecting a month and a half.
I mean, I think because it was already a year of... of the trial going on, that they figured they would need at least that long to keep discussing what they saw. I mean, that's basically the idea. I've been only called for jury duty twice, and I didn't get put on the jury either time. And knock on wood, even, of course, now that I said that, I'll probably get a fucking jury duty summons this week in the mail. I know my manager just got one.
Just say that you're racist.
That'll be easy, dude. Trust me. Everyone says that's fucking easy. Like, everyone's like, oh, just go in like a KKK uniform or a Nazi uniform. Like, do you know where the courthouse that I have to go to is? I will get fucking murdered on my way in or out trying to run for my life. Like, that's fucking no joke. It would be like going to Dixie and thinking you could just, like, talk to a judge and get your shit when you're probably not going to be able to, and I just realized what a fucking corner I backed myself into going with that analogy. But
or just say that you always believe the police.
Yeah. Oh, true. Good call. Yeah. That. Well, I'll tell you. All right. So I'll give you one quick story about my experience at jury duty. At the time that I was called, I was already booked and ticketed to go on this trip to Vegas within 2 or 3 days of the jury duty session that I was going to. And so I brought all my printed credentials for that to show, like, the ticket for the airline, the hotel booking, everything. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my team was down a man anyway. So, like, we needed everybody to travel when they needed to travel. There was no one to be backup because everybody else was already committed other places. Now, I'd never really been past the part. Like, jury duty is basically you go to the courthouse. Everybody watches a video for 10 minutes at the beginning of the day that says what basically they're expected to do. And, you know, if you're picked for a jury, you're supposed to listen to both sides and be as impartial as possible. I mean, you're supposed to be completely impartial. And you're supposed to listen to what's presented and make your decision based on that. It's your duty to, you know, find people guilty if they're guilty or not guilty if you don't believe they're guilty.
Right.
And then you just sit there all day, and you might not even get called. And as long as you sit there for the whole day, you're considered to have, you know, performed your civic duty, and they give you a note for your job, and, you know, you'll probably either get, like, you get $5 for the day. That's what basic jury duty pay is. So the first time I went, that's what happened. I just sat there all day. I read a book. Nothing happened. The second time I went, I brought books with me expecting the same shit to happen, and I was in the first group that was like, okay, you guys go down to this room. And I get there, and there's a judge, and there's a prosecutor, and there's a defense attorney, and there's this guy sitting next to the defense attorney, an African-American older gentleman in a suit. So I'm all like, oh my God, obviously he's at the defense side, so what the fuck is this? They say and we had to wait there for a few minutes too. The judge was like late or whatever. And when he got there, he's like, okay, so this is a murder trial. And I was like, oh my God, the guy sitting at this table is a suspected murderer, you know, is an alleged killer. And to do the jury interviews, they had, instead of like the way you saw in this show, where like people are sitting in the, you know, in the jurors box and the lawyers are asking them questions, they had us all like sitting in the court side of everything, and they would bring us up one by one. You are standing right next to the fucking guy who is accused of murder. I mean, like, he was standing like where this microphone is next to me, and they were like, so is there any reason you wouldn't be able to serve on this jury? And I'm like, because I'm supposed to be in Vegas these days, and if you're starting tomorrow, I won't be able to do that. And they're like, is this trip already paid for and everything? I'm like, yep, I think parts of it are non-refundable, and plus, like, there's no one else that can go. My whole team, we're down people right now, and we need people to go when they're assigned to go. And they were like, okay, no problem, you can go sit down. And so, you know, I hadn't been released yet, but I went to use the restroom when they gave us a break, like a 10-minute break. And the fucking alleged murderer walks right into the bathroom. And I'm like,
what?
Holy fucking shit. Like, I'm not supposed to be, like, able to interact with you. Like, what is this shit?
Was he by himself?
Yes, there was nobody with him. I'm like, you know, for somebody who's supposedly, like, gonna be on trial for murder, they're letting you walk around scot-free. Free-ish. And like, he's like, so you think you're gonna be on the jury? And I'm like, no, actually. Yeah, I was like, no, actually, I'm probably not gonna be able to, because I have to travel for work, and, you know, a lot of that shit's paid for and everything. And I basically said the same shit again that he already heard me say in the court. He's like, oh yeah, that's right, that's you, all right, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, man, good luck with everything though. And I just got the fuck out of the bathroom.
Whoa. So let's say you were part of this jury. You could have had a private conversation with the alleged murderer.
Yeah, before the trial even started. So I probably would have immediately said that, like, at the beginning of everything. I'd just be like, so, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure this is irregular, right? Like, what kind of bullshit is
yeah.
this? Is everything on TV a total fucking lie? I mean,
you went to the bathroom, though, were there guards by the
no,
door?
No, there was nothing. I couldn't understand. He had nothing. He was, to me, I was just like, is this really a murder trial or what? Or, I mean, is this guy the murderer, or is he part of the defense team? Like, I don't know what the hell this is, but he definitely seemed like the murderer because the alleged murderer. Sorry, guys. Because, like, the defense attorney was just constantly talking to him, and I'm just like, I don't know. It's one
it
of those things.
Been on the defense team.
I have no idea, man. It seemed to me like this fucking guy was.
Unless he was out on bail or something.
I don't. Yeah, for real. So luckily, now that was a couple of years ago. I'm probably due now that I'm telling this story on the air. It's probably gonna make the universe go, oh, yeah, fuck, that's right. And then we're actually going to put you on the jury this time, motherfucker. So, yeah, you'll be hearing tales from within Sequester. Can you imagine, dude, like being like this jury where they were like losing their fucking minds? They were just like, oh, my God, I'm going to run out of here.
Yeah, and they could, oh, like no TV in their rooms.
Oh,
like,
dude, that I would have lost. I'd be like, I can't watch Game of Thrones. Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. That's insane. I need to podcast about
this. No, but now they'd have Netflix. Cause like,
I don't think they would. Netflix, true. Netflix, and they would also, even HBO.
This is like 1992 or whatever.
What it was, right? They didn't want them watching. They didn't want the jury watching the news coverage or whatever it was. Like,
well, forget news coverage. Like everything was OJ. The Tonight Show.
With Wheel of Fortune, probably. The Dancing Itos.
Yeah. Wheel of Fortune, probably, like, was OJ rigged.
Fuck news coverage. What's wrong with you, Dave? I don't know, man. It's been like a month since we've recorded this podcast. I'm lucky I'm remembering how to talk about this fucking show now.
There was this trial.
Yeah, and there was this guy who used to be a football player, apparently. Holy shit. Yeah.
That was crazy, like how that juror didn't want to hear any of the evidence.
The same one who did the fist raise.
Yeah, that's like crazy.
Now when that happens, that's supposed to be called deadlock. She should have stood her ground and been like, well, I'm not going to absolutely just say he's innocent without looking at the evidence. And that would have been a mistrial then, too. Like, they would have had what's called
a hum. She was like,
horrified. Yeah, they were like,
oh, it's just like, we might as well get out of here.
No, but there was also the fact there were only two white people in the room, and it were two white women who felt like they were definitely... I mean, you can't tell me that the rest of the room wasn't being hostile to them. They were like looking at them like, so you two bitches going to get along with this or what? You know what I mean? It was like, I could totally understand. I probably would have caved too, but, you know, what should have happened, what's supposed to happen when it happens is... Like, even if it's just one juror, like, even if all 11 people were on one side and one juror was like, no, I'm not just going along with this.
12 angry men.
Yeah, if they stood their ground, though, that one juror would be, in The Sopranos, they did this, I think, where, like, the Uncle Junior was on trial, and it was like...
Season one or two.
No, this was, like, late. This is season, like, four, season five, right before he was put into the mental institution.
Okay.
Getting hit in the head with the microphone on his way out of the courtroom. Basically, like, they had found one of the jurors and threatened him. Like, hey, man, you know, I would hate for something to happen to your family, you know, and blah, blah, blah. You might want to think about that while you're on the jury.
Yeah, he was at, like, a gas station buying
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like,
that was, like, season one or two, by the way.
Really? No, dude. Definitely late. Because
I stopped watching after, like, season four or five.
And that's what I'm saying. It was in, like, season three or four. Because that was also where he kept turning around so that the court sketch artist would, like, get his face right. You know? Like, it was late. It was when Uncle Junior thought he was, like, important still. It was before he shoots Tony towards the end of the show. But anyway, the whole idea is that when they finally were supposed to give the verdict and the judge said, you know, has the jury reached a verdict, the jury captain or the jury foreman or whatever got up and said, Your Honor, we can't because one juror refuses to deliberate. And he's like, we're impassably deadlocked. And that was just mistrial and Uncle Junior got out scot-free and that was the end of it. Like, technically, that's probably what should have happened here. It would have been horrible because apparently of wasting the taxpayer money, but if it eventually led to another trial where, like, he was found guilty because of, like, the overwhelming evidence. There are, like, kids now who are 10, 11, 12 who probably watch this show who shouldn't have because it was for older people, but they're even going, how fucking stupid were all of you? You know, like, how fucking stupid? There was everybody's blood inside the Bronco, and they were, like, actually got people to believe that it was planted. Are you guys fucking stupid? And we have to be like, yeah, we didn't even know what DNA was. Can you believe that shit? They only knew about basically blood typing and fingerprints before this shit. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine? Oh, my God. In history, how many innocent people were put in jail? You know what I mean? Bullshit. Or how many people got away with crimes because of stupid... I remember, you ever seen the movie Dutch with Dustin Hoffman and Bruce Willis?
No.
It was about Dutch Schultz. There's a part where they... he just shoots a guy in the face in their hotel room, and they're trying to mop the blood up off the carpet, and it will, you know, there's just so much of it that it won't come up. And so they tell, actually, no, the movie was called Billy Bathgate, and it was about Dutch Schultz. And the Billy Bathgate's like this kid who was a hang around who became his sort of protege. So he, you know, Billy is standing there after he was trying to mop up all the blood, and Dutch is like, stand there for a second. And he just punches him in the face, and he starts like, and his like nose starts bleeding. He goes, no, hold on a second, like, don't cover it. And they just make him drip a bunch of blood over the blood stain, and just, he's like, all right, now mop all that up. And it's like, as long as we contaminate it, it's fine. It was like super easy to just cover up a murder, you know, where finally OJ was, OJ was the first time where it was like, okay, we can actually check for this shit. I mean, the way she said, she goes, he was a match that's one out of like 57 something billion. There are only 8 billion people on the planet. Think about that. Like, you're telling me that with that evidence alone, you're going to say, well, I'll never believe unequivocally that he wasn't framed, that they didn't say, like, dude.
It's crazy.
Dude. Now, I mean, everybody who was older than me at the time that this happened is very quick to say, well, I mean, come on, man. It was payback from Rodney King. It was the pendulum swinging the other way. And the hard part for me when I heard that was, like, you know, at the end of the last episode, when they're just showing the pictures of everybody, and the last two pictures they show are Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, and it says their birth year and death year, like the way it would on their grave. You're just like, so what we're saying then is it's totally fine that these two people were sacrificed for that. You know what I mean? Like, the two rights not making, or two wrongs not making a right type situation. But at the same time, that's so racially insensitive, I guess, to even have said. So I probably should have made some kind of disclaimer at the beginning of this episode, which we've kind of done, I think, every episode this season, is just say, hey, we're going to discuss some difficult shit. This is going to be a little tough, a little on the tough side to talk about. Mm-hmm. There are so many moments in both of the episodes, it's kind of like hard to ever feel like we'll get them all, or that we got them all. I'm trying to think, definitely like the F. Lee Bailey in North Carolina, the tapes themselves, the whole thing with Ito having to excuse himself, the threatening of another race riot. I don't know.
No, I think we did all right. I think we did.
And then just the verdict itself. I mean, the whole episode.
Yeah, the end. The whole episode. OJ lost all his friends and Kardashian.
It was bad. When they were trying to make the dinner reservations.
Oh, yeah, you knew right away what was going to happen.
He's like, call, please, make a reservation for 50. Yeah, they won't take us. Call back Dr. Marco. He'll take care of us. Yeah, no, I did. He said, there's no table for you. Like, murderer. Like, dude, murderer. You know, like, for God's sake. For God's sake, man. Like, you know, we're happy you're not incarcerated, I guess, but you fucking... Remember South Park when they did, like, that one episode where they called out, like, everybody? They called out JonBenet Ramsey's parents. And they didn't just get to, like, OJ.
No, it's
like,
JonBenet Ramsey's parents.
And it's like, OJ, it's like, murder! You goddamn murdering murderer!
Butters every own episode.
Know you fucking did it! You know you did it! Confess! Yeah, murderer!
And then they would go back to Butters' mom, and she was, and that is what they would say to me. So they did another episode like that with steroids with like Barry Bonds.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're a fucking cheater. And that it was Jimmy. It's like, and that is what they would say to me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like, after watching this, you're just like, that is so spot on. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, I do remember it being weird when he was found not guilty, like, and how, I mean, I was in the hospital, so the hospital just went right back to like, okay, all right, let's go back to taking your temperature, and let's go back to changing your IV. But there was a part of me that was just like, what? What just happened? Like, really? Ah, man. And it just almost felt guilty. Like, the way it ends, it almost made me feel guilty for enjoying this show. You know, it's almost like they tricked us into like, yo, if you were entertained by this, you're kind of part of the problem. You know what I mean? Like you're part of the problem that was started back then. You're the result of this culture that was started, that was polarized by situations like this, by the media being involved. Like, they didn't make a big deal of it during the season. I'm really surprised that they didn't do this, that when he decided to not let camera people in the courtroom, but that they would just put those two cameras in the courtroom so that you could just see both sides. It was sort of like they every once in a while they would look up at those like automated cameras. But the fact that like Ito was like, I don't want camera people in my courtroom, there was a big deal about that at the beginning. I felt like that was like a good couple weeks that that shit was in the news.
True.
What else? What else do I remember from that time? The actual things that were happening. I'm surprised that Marsha Clark and Darden actually never slept together, according to the show. Oh, and then Marsha Clark reveals her whole I got raped in Italy story. Like, that was fucking crazy.
Crazy.
Well, I mean, like, I kind of feel like it was sort of, like, obvious that something like that had to be coming down the pike there. You know what I mean? It was sort of, how does it not, the way she kept referring to the battered women and how many times the police were called to go to her place. I don't know, that was just, and she even said, like, when he said what happened to the guy, he goes, same thing that happened today with OJ. You know, like, everybody just, basically, if you're that level of evil, you're kind of probably going to get away with it. Apparently, the people who make the mistakes that trip him up are us people who are good people who then go crazy for, like, a second and slip up, and then, like, we realize we went crazy and we try to cover it up, and it's like, that's what gets us caught. Not speaking from experience or anything
seriously,
like
man,
that.
Yeah, seriously, man. That was pretty detailed.
Suddenly got really dark. It's like OJ writing a book like, hey, if I had done it, this is
what
I would have done.
Yeah, I'm walking away slowly now.
He actually is carrying the computer, which is an odd way of trying to escape, but alrighty. That's what doing a podcast about a show like this will do to you. You're like, oh my God, dark, crazy thoughts. It was funny. They had the Vanity Fair reporter walks out when, they made such a big deal out of, like, finding out that Furman insulted Ito's wife, that, like, it was going to be this whole big thing. And they have the Vanity Fair reporter, he's like, you couldn't put a twist like this in an airport paperback. And it's like, it was actually so obvious at that moment that he was reading that line off of whatever piece of paper was in his hand. I almost felt like it was a mistake. Like, it was like an early take that they accidentally left in the edit or something like that. But I'm trying to think what else is standing out. How, like, when they listened to the Furman tapes, they were all, like, all of them looked like they wanted to throw up. Everybody was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And
like a monster.
Those ancient tape decks, though, that was, like, a flashback. And, like, they have, like, the one that Marsha Clark and Darden are using is so, like, obviously, like, the cheapest brand that, like, used to have, like, in our elementary schools. And then they show the one that, what's his name, Johnny Cochran has in his office, and it's this giant box with this little thing for the tape to go in. And I remember, like, stereos used to be all about being huge and just have the little thing that you would put the tape in, but all the other parts of it were big.
Are you allowed, speaking of Furman, are you allowed to plead the fifth if you're not on trial?
I don't know. That's pretty, I felt that same way.
He definitely
that.
Did that. But
oh, yeah, I know, and I remember that too. And that they only allowed, what, two lines of transcript or the tape to be played in the courtroom? Like, that's, I don't remember that. I remember all the things making fun of this. And, you know, like, not Saturday Night Live at the time, there was Mad TV also, and I think there was a show called The Edge. No, maybe The Edge came before.
There's so many sketch shows.
But they did one. There was one where they did, like, they took the actual footage of Furman on the stand, and instead of playing the audio of whatever the tape was played in court, they, like, you know, played new dialogue that they wrote. And it was, like, so much that I'm like, oh, my God, these tapes must have been long. I feel like they embellished this whole two-line thing. But I don't know. There's history out there. Somebody's going to be able to prove me right or wrong. This is something called research that I should have done before we recorded tonight. But clearly we just want to make sure.
We just wanted to record, you know.
We get back on track with our podcast here and get this episode out there finally before you guys come to the gates with pitchforks and torches to kill us. So thanks for not doing that, by the way. yeah, that was, and it was like one of those things where it's like, you motherfucker, you know what I mean? Like, you're pleading the fifth, really, dude? Like, have some nerve, stand up and be the person you are. Cause it was funny, like, when, I think it was F. Lee Bailey, he's like, you know, I mean, it takes a certain kind of character to walk in and be hated by all sides. You know what I mean? Like, the defense hates him, the prosecution hates him, the jury hates him, the public hates him, the judge is like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quite, and they picked, I guess, the perfect actor, because he was like, you just look at him and you're like, you son of a bitch. Like, what a douchebag. You even look like a douchebag. But yeah, man. And the fact that it was like sort of all the things that were in the transcript, how systemic, you know, how they would talk about, like, oh yeah, the whole department's like this. Everybody talks like this. Everybody's like trying to kill them. You know, like, oh my God. That is, I mean, I could kind of see Cochran's point. Like, we have to expose this. But at the time, it probably would have been riot, you know, LA riots part two. It might have been more than LA. It might have been everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Crazy. Crazy show. Crazy show to have podcasted about, because of how intense the content is. And
it was an honor doing this first season with you.
Oh yeah, man. You too. Thank you so much for thanks for fitting it in, doing what we can. Life does tend to get in the way on all sides, so you know, we apologize out there to all of Internetica. But you may have noticed that the vibe here at Hollow Nine is a little bit more of a come as you are, hang out if you can, kind of, you know, just open door policy, chill, you know, get up and leave when you need to. We're like a hostel for podcast listeners.
Good call.
It costs, well, costs you nothing to stay. Hang out as long as you like, as long as you pass the duchy to the left and not the right. But, yeah, it's been fun. It's been crazy. I still can't get over not only the level of nostalgia, but then the level of just impact. The way it ended with that sort of showing what happened to everybody, and then on those last two pictures, it almost felt like a little bit almost like this is the kind of thing that this should be like a school assignment for people to have to watch, to talk about the contemporary history of the 90s, you know what I mean? And how the media became such a big thing, you know, like the whole idea of them getting that first footage of OJ being questioned behind his house, and then, you know, whichever outlet got that was the first to be like, OJ's a suspect, you know what I mean? Like, it was the early stages, man. The internet is making things like this crazy as hell these days, so I don't know. Yeah, so I'm interested to see what they do in Katrina.
I think it'll be fine.
And if that is the case, the whole, you know, cause-based American crime, I'm really hoping that means we'll see a Native American westward expansion genocide,
yeah, I would love
story, because I think that could be crazy, and a period piece if they wanted to make it like about the Wild West, you know, make it about a historian tracking stories and you know, keep showing flashbacks to the time that shit happened, kind of like Deadwood meets American Horror Story, kind of, or American Crime Story. Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys want to see? Send us your emails. Maybe we'll do a bonus mailbag episode if we get enough.
For sure.
Enough messages, or on the Facebook or on the Twitter or any number myriad of places that you can get in touch with us, being that it is the here and now and we're all connected at all times. So yeah, this has been quite the verdict, I think, is that the show was amazing and that anybody who said they didn't want to watch it, you don't know what you missed. Anyway, yeah, there were people that I'd run into that'd be like, oh, I haven't been watching that. I'm like, well,
get on it.
That's dumb. For
suck at life.
Almost all the other shows that I'm just like, how the fuck did you miss this? Battlestar Galactica, what? Yeah, go watch that shit, please. Yeah. Twin Peaks, yeah, follow up. It's coming back. These shows are coming back for a reason. 24.
They ran out of shit to write about.
Yeah, so they're just like, why don't we, instead of we copy it, why don't we just bring it back since everybody loves it? 24, there's like a new 24 is coming out now, and all kinds of stuff. Season 7 of Game of Thrones is ordered before season 6 even premiered. They're sticking with what works.
Exactly.
All right, well, this is going to close out the American Crime Story portion of our Hollow Nine debut season here, debut year, year one, Hollow Nine. That doesn't mean it's the last of us and the last of what we're offering. So, you can check back in and find what's up with Mr. Morton Esquire here and myself by, checking out hollow9.podomatic.com for all the latest releases of our episodes. If you are subscribed to us on iTunes, one, thank you very much. And, if you wouldn't mind going over and giving us a rating and review over there would definitely be much appreciated. Will help us, gain a little bit more visibility, reach more folks, and more folks means more jokes, and more jokes means more stuff for us to shove down your throat. I don't know. Well, it just gives us a better chance to do better programs and keep improving our, you know, thing that we do here. So get on that. We also do, I don't know if anybody's noticed, we have a donate button, by the way, on our Podomatic page where you can donate to the cause here. So if you'd like to hear us in a better light or, you know, see us do more stuff, help that happen. Be a pod maker. We'll give you some credit on all of our web presences. And I think that's pretty much it. Listen to the business at the end of the episode. And again, yeah, it's been an honor podcasting. It's been an honor podcasting with you, sir, in the fine state of Internetica, where I know I will always find justice in the court of public opinion because our quality is just that good. This is F. Lee Bailey playing Dave the Clone, saying thank you for joining us at the sidebar. It has been an honor defending your listening. Goodbye.
The honor was mine.
And mine as well. You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Hollow9Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at Hollow9Podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, Hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, Fangirlzone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow 9.